Do you find that you wish that you had more time? Time goes so fast.
Now there's a word.
Where did you find that word? It just came up.
Well, I don't think that's in the dictionary.
I don't care if it isn't.
You say, well, it's not politically correct to make words.
Well, is it politically correct to use obscenity and profanity? This generation kind of thinks that it's acceptable if you watch any media. But it is a great word. And if you're not a hoper, did you hear me? A hoper, not a hopper. You got too much Easter in you if you're a hopper. A hoper. I don't know if I'll take credit for that or not. And so our hymns tonight should lead us to that subject of hope. And it's a great subject. I don't think I'm going to do justice to it, but I'm going to try a little bit. Come, let us sing a song of wonderful love. 669. Now, if we're going to consider the subject of hope, then we ought to be able to sing hymn number 582, that my hope is built on nothing less. 582.
The solid.
just in case tonight you don't get a lot out of the service or the study, I challenge you to take that hymn that we've just sung, 582, and my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That hymn totally explains what hope is. This old life with all of its the overwhelming flood, it says, is an anchor that holds within the veil. And when all around my soul gives away, he then is all my hope and stay. There it is. I challenge you to look it up if you need more explanation of what hope is all about. Now, Christ, of all my hopes, the ground, 437. Father, we are grateful for singing these hymns that encourage us to have that hope, which is not only for today, but for the future. Only those who know Jesus Christ savingly have this hope. And so tonight we pray that you would look upon us, speak to us. May the confidence in your word be upon our hearts. May there be a hunger and a thirst to know the truth. May we set aside those distractions that would keep us from getting the truth tonight. We ask for clearness of mind and thought and the direction of thy Holy Spirit in each of our hearts, that our Lord Jesus receive the honor and glory, for we do pray in his name. Amen. Please be seated. Let's turn to the Colossians. Colossians. To ask if you're a hoper sounds strange, but that's what verse 5 says. He says, our Lord, by the Spirit of God, has Paul write these words, these letters to a little tiny church in southern Turkey years ago. And he's grateful for them. In verse 3, he said, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Now, I am not missing those two verses, but I want to go to a foundational premise. As I understand it in the Greek, the foundational premise of these three graces, that is, hope, faith, hope, and love, the one that is like the center of a wheel with the spokes going out and the rim, the center is hope. Now, you and I, we get all messed up with the culture we're in, even the dictionaries that we use. We get the impression that hope is like you're wishing for something. Let's see. On my birthday, I wish I can get this. I wish it. I get a present. I wish I have this, and so forth. That's not what hope's all about. So we have to go to the Bible and say, now, what is hope? If our whole mind is thinking about it, it's wishing for something. No. It's not wishing for something. That's not what the word hope means. Well, it's kind of hard when you get in a society that just can uses the word hope and that does not concur with the word hope in the Bible, but we'll give it a try. These are three divine sisters, as you might be placed, and that is their love, and there's hope, and there's faith, but I believe the foundation of the hub of the whole thing is hope. Christ is our hope. He's the foundation of everything. And so we are to rejoice if we have this hope. But not everybody has hope. You can wish for something, but not everybody has hope. Hope is given to those who only have been born again, who are saved. It's a grace that God gives. So you think this is for everybody? No, it isn't. If you don't have hope tonight, it's because you don't know the Lord. And this hope is a powerful thing, that it's continuous and it's working and it's active. That's the tense. Even as we looked at the word love the last time we were together here, about verse 4, we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. And while you're praying, you ought to pray for the those who are separated unto the Lord. That's what the word saints mean. Means, and we ought to remember to tell the Lord that you love them. It doesn't hurt to tell one another you love each other either, but the verse there is you tell the Lord. And you pray for somebody, it's for thanks. Now listen, I wasn't talking about intercessory prayer Sunday night. I was talking about praying, and while you're praying, give thanks for people. And what you say, well, there's some guys I couldn't give much thanks for. If they know the Lord, you can start there and you can pray and you can give thanks for the individual. God has done a work in their life. He may be an infinite Christ. He may be a giant. He may be a know-it-all. He may not know anything. But if he's in Christ, we ought to give thanks for them. Keep thanking for the Christians or for people in general who made an image of God. Don't give up on people. You say, well, I did pray for him. How many times? Well, does it make a difference? Yes, the tense is to be continuously praying to God. Well, I prayed. Did you continuously are you praying? Not just emergencies. 911! Yeah, that's fine. But the Bible is teaching that if you're praying, while you are praying, give thanks to God. For individuals. All right, let's go on further. We have this matter of hope in verse 5. And I want to get to these other sisters, but tonight I want to talk about this one hope. And it ought to be evident in our lives if we are Christians. An evidence of hope? Yes. And that these graces abide in every believer. And that is faith, hope, love. And it's the Bible says that we believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, they're dead. No, they aren't. They're alive. And since you say, I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're talking about living people. They're with the Lord. Do you believe that? God is alive. And so we have this matter of the eternal weight of glory that the Bible speaks about. You know, I want to say this at the very beginning, really. If you have hope, you have eternal life. It ought to be in you. I have eternal life. I have hope of eternal life. It's not a wish. I have it. It's bestowed. It's given. It's the grace of God. Say, I have eternal life. And guess what? I'm not going to be condemned for my sins. There's not going to be a judgment for me for sin. A judgment for service, yes. But as a believer, there's no judgment. A condemnation for me because I have hope. My hope is in Christ. I am a hoper. God has blessed me. If you know the Lord, you're a hoper too. But not everybody is. Now, what are you hoping if it's not only presently? See, you're hoping for eternal life and you're hoping to be in heaven? That's all future. That's right, it's future. That's what hope does. Hope not only helps with the present, gives evidence while we're here, but it also speaks about the future. Out there is heaven. I'm going there. But I want to tell you something. If the Lord comes, even so come, Lord Jesus. He comes, He takes us, He gives us a resurrected life, a new body, totally glorious. Here we may have a great Lord's Day and enjoy God's people and the great singing and a good preaching, but on Monday we show up and it's the old cold world again with all their ugliness. It's true. If you've had a high Sunday, you face the world, it's a cold Monday. But God will help you get through it because if He gives you that hope, He said, listen, boy, you don't have to be down in the mouth here on Monday because I put hope in you and you have hope in eternal life. And I want you to realize this. The future is heaven, but the future is also the resurrection. And say, I don't want to go to the funeral. You don't want to go to the funeral. No, nor do I. When you go to the funeral, you just listen about the resurrection. That's my hope. The Lord Jesus comes and we'll be resurrected. He'll give you a new body, give you a new spirit, no more sin. How glorious it is. And hope does give us hope for the future. This is not something you pick up in culture. This is something from the Word of God. And the Bible says, for me to live is Christ and to die is to gain. Oh, come on. To die is to gain. No. Any day above earth is a good day. Not if you really believe in hope. Your hope is in Jesus Christ. I was talking to the clerk down at the post office. He and I chat. And I understand he's doing some preaching now. But he talks about the Lord. And he began to talk about how things were. Conditions were bad. And so forth. And I said to him, well, Jim, even so come, Lord Jesus. He said, amen, brother. That's it. You get down the mouth. And you talk about all things. How horrible they are. Like those 9 third graders who had a plan to kill their school teacher. You gotta be kidding. No, they brought a knife and they brought all kinds of things and they were gonna do away with her because she disciplined one little girl and said, now you stand on that chair. Just stand on that chair. He said, let's kill her. What? 9 third graders. You gotta be kidding. Don't you want to go to school teaching? And they start talking that, but it's a day in which we live. Violence all over the place, and their children, they see this violence. But you say, I don't want to hear more of that. No. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And that'll be the end. That'll be the end. Come quickly. You think about the coming of the Lord? You probably don't if you don't have hope. You don't have these three divine graces that God gives to believers, and that he gives us faith and hope, and he gives us this great truth also of love. I'm not through with this. I said to you last Wednesday night, prayer meeting may be just sermonettes or studyettes. But we'll see what happens. It's an ongoing thing. Verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. That's an ongoing thing. Ongoing faith. It continues. The gospel does not wear out. There are those who say that the Lord isn't saving, like this man out in California. One time I enjoyed hearing him, but he got on a eschatological idea, and he says, God isn't saving, God isn't in the church anymore. He's wrong. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it's glorious, and it continues to work. Don't lose confidence in the Word of God. Don't lose confidence in the gospel. Be talking to people. God says, I'll bless my Word, and it'll not return on me void. Keep talking about the Lord. You can talk about the weather all you want to. What's that going to do for eternal salvation? You can talk about politics, what that's going to do. You can talk about economics, what's that going to do for you? You can talk about psychology and philosophy. What's that going to do with you? Talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Talk about the Lord. And he'll put in graces like these three, the things in your heart and in your loved ones. Here's a hell-deserving sinner. And God breaks that heart. Puts in there, gives him the grace of God, saving grace, which is from the Lord, and puts in them hope, certainty, expectancy. That's what hope has to do with expectancy, certainty. Well, we're not talking about wishing, we're talking about hoping. There's a difference. Oh, well. Verse 5 says, our reward then is laid up for us in heaven. You mean we got a reward coming? Yes, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. It's here, it's now, but it also is laid up for us in heaven. That is something. We got a reward. Glorious. Now, I'm going to turn to a couple of references tonight. Because no scripture is a private interpretation. And so let's go to other verses so we don't just use the one. Let's go to 1 Peter and chapter 1, and let's look at a couple of verses in 1 Peter chapter 1. What's it have to do? It's talking about hope. What about it? It's an inheritance. It's laid up for us in heaven. It's a sure thing. Really, is it sure? Verse 3, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, a living hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, it's connected with the resurrection. I'd said that previously. To an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, someone said, you know, I have you on my will. Well, thank you very much. That's nice you thought of me. But then it doesn't turn out. Things change. See, well, this hope that you're talking about, that isn't certain. It is certain. Because it says here, it's an inheritance, verse 4, that's incorruptible. It's not going to change on you, friend. Like this old world changes. It's undefiled, and it fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven. I like that reserve word, reserve. That means laid up, as it is here in Colossians. The word laid up is that it's secure. Now, it's not like Bear Stearns on the other Monday. What did a man lose? 200, what was it? 200 million or 200 billion? What was it? You heard it. What was it, Dan? 200 million or 200 billion? 200 billion. Overnight, he lost it in the stock market. Bear Stearns. Say, well, so what? Hey, I'm not dealing that realm. This is something that's laid up and secured. It's better than any old cash box that you know, any old bank that you know. This is a secure. It's secure. God says it's secure. You want something secure? Then listen up. This old world is fading. Boy, it's amazing how we can get involved in this old life thinking that's everything. When the Bible says you're not even paying attention. You don't even know what you're talking about. You're all favored and you got sidetracked. And you're way out in left field. You don't know the Bible. You pronounce this word hopper. Because we're distracted to this old world. You know what? The Bible says that which is temporal is not real. But that which is spiritual is real. Now wait a minute. You're putting your lock and stock in this world and you're spending all your time and playing with all your marbles and all your hobbies and so forth. That's your big deal. Yeah? Let me ask you something. It's temporal. It's going to burn with fire. Well, I want something that's eternal and it's lasting and permanent. Then you talk about spiritual things. For spiritual things are real. What's reality? You see, this is reality. I can feel it. That's reality. That's going to burn too. I tell you, what is reality is that which is spiritual. But talk to me. Talk to some of the other brethren and see whether they understand that. We don't understand what hope is. For the most part, we don't understand it. What we understand is right now. Right now is what's important. It is important right now. It's very important right now. And that we give evidence of hope and love and faith. It is evident. But what you better see is you need for permanency. Something more than just for the now. We need something for the future. Well, you know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I don't know about you, friends, but I was encouraged to hear that on our website that people are listening to the messages. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That ought to encourage your heart. That we're doing something, even the teeny tiny church is doing something that God is blessing throughout the world. We got to pray that the gospel keeps going. Not only from the pulpit, but from the matter of the internet and so forth. Thank God for those who have spent time working on it. It's amazing. But we need this love for the brethren, it speaks here. I like that. You may not like my personality, but if I'm in Christ and you're in Christ, you're to love me. We may not agree about some things, but we're to love each other, the love of the brethren. Yes. You know, I was trying to explain something here, and I'll turn to it. If you want to, 2 Corinthians 4:16, I was trying to explain something to you without turning to the reference. Better to turn to the reference and read it for ourselves. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Let's look at verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, and it is, yours is too, but the inward man is renewed day by day. I hope so. No, it is. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal. You got that? But the things which are not seen, they're eternal. You got that? Is that hard to understand? It is kind of strange, though. It says, you know, we ought not to faint. But we know that our outward man is perishing. It's amazing. I get amazed at old age. It's an amazing thing. My brother used to say it, brother, he said, Bill, it's not a matter of taking, that you're going slower, but it just takes longer to do things. You lose strength. This old body, just like any plant that produces seed, like the old corn out there, it's going to assume, it grows up, and as I said to you before, and it matures, and the stalk, as it shuts off the nutrients, it bends down, and if the farmer doesn't pick it, it'll eventually fall down to the ground. Our life is like that, friends. This outward is perishing. You spend a lot of money on it. I said to my dentist, he said, well, haven't seen you for 6 years. I said, oh, yes, you have, Doc. You had an emergency with me about 2 years ago. Well, he said, I never write down about emergencies. I said, that's, he said, well, I said, hey, Doc, I want to tell you something. I trust you. I know we work together. I said, you do what you can. I said, I'm not interested in presenting the undertaker an expensive corpse. I'm not interested in presenting to the undertaker an expensive corpse. Some people are interested in that. Our outward is perishing. Oh, is that so? Yes, but the inward man. How about the inward man? Or do you really emphasize the inward man, the innerness of us? Did you read your Bible today? Oh, come on, preacher. Don't be meddling. That's what preaching is, meddling. Did you know that? That's what basically preaching is, meddling. Teaching is just kind of giving you kind of platitudes and so forth. But preaching is meddling. Now he's gone to meddling. Do you read your Word of God? I bet you read the newspaper. I bet you listened to news. I bet you took care of the body as far as medication and as far as food. But what about your inner man? Well, I don't know how important that is. You're done. It has to be renewed. It has to grow. When something doesn't grow, you say, there's something wrong with my plants or something wrong with my child. Yeah, and the Lord's saying, their inward man is renewed day by day. But you say, oh, wow, I just have so many things. I got so many afflictions. Well, verse 17 says, for a light affliction. Light, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God will get to you. Yes, he will. He said, maybe I need to put a little affliction on you, son. You're getting kind of out of hand here. You don't pay much attention to me. You haven't worked on the inner man, and you're nonchalant about spiritual things. You're all busy with this world. Maybe I ought to kind of give you a little rest on your back. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And if you're not feeding the inner man, expect chastisement. You don't go to meet with God's people on the Lord's Day, expect chastisement if you're a child of God. If you're not saved, that doesn't. You'll find out that all you have is judgment upon you. You have no hope, and you won't have peace that passes understanding, and you won't have love for the Christian. You say, those goonies, I don't want anything to do with them. I'm not going to go worship with them. But once you come to know the Lord, you love God's people. And you ought to be with God's people. You know, you talk about eternal glory. You're talking about the future hope that it'll be a place of rest. We rest from our labors. That's fine. That sounds good at a funeral. But what does it mean? It means that we'll have rest, eternal rest. A Sabbath. You see, I had a great time Sunday. That's fine. You should have. But can you imagine eternal Sundays? No sin. Great singing. Wonderful, in the presence of God. You say, well, the Bible doesn't talk much about heaven. It talks enough about it to get you excited. You excited? No tears, no sorrow, no death? Wow. Is there a place like that? Yes, there is. Do you have hope to go to that place? I do have hope. Where'd you get your hope? God gave it to me. It's one of the graces. It's one of the things that God gives to believers. Well, that's great. I hope I can get that. Listen, you need the Lord Jesus. You need to repent. You need to bow your knee. Say, dear Lord, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to. I want this peace. I want this confidence. I want this expectancy. I know it's going to happen. You know,
I read the obituary column this morning. I saw Bert Clark passed away. You know what? Bert was an old fellow. He did some work for me, put two doors in the house over here. I took time to talk to Bert. Well, give me a Wilkie button. Listen, don't get smart with me. We need to talk to people. They do die. Well, how did he do? Well, Bert affirmed things, and he said that he goes to the certain church and so forth and so on and so on. And he said he knew this. He's an old codger, and he comes up in the mountains up here at Clark's Cogan Station and so forth. But sure, we need to talk to people. The gospel, the good news, it needs to be spread. Don't get the idea that it's all just a preacher's job. That's what we pay the preachers for. By the way, you don't pay me, do you? Whatever you give, it's the Lord's money. Don't think that I'm on a salary. I'm not on a salary. You ought to do what the Lord says, tithe. If you get feed, you ought to bless the person that feeds you with at least give them donations. I didn't get into that. Rick does a good job. He's a deacon. He can tell you more. I don't have to do it. Rick will do it, won't you, Brother Rick? Anyway, now I want to say this. We have responsibilities. And we'll do it delightfully. You know, it is amazing. I'm going to talk a little more about it, Rick. It's one thing to go back to that offering box and just, you know, you divide it up and say, well, I wish I could put more in there. You say, you're talking funny. No, I'm not. God loves a cheerful giver. Say, praise the Lord. Something's wrong, friends. And all we are concerned about is paying bills here and paying taxes. I'm not really concerned about making sure that God's work is prosperous. The gospel is free, but the conduit is expensive. There is expenses involved. If you're smart in this world, smarten up about the matters of spiritual needs. I wasn't planning on that. Anyway, I was trying to say Colossians 1 and verse 5. And that is this hope. I tell you, the expectancy has present, but it also future about eternal life, which is laid up. And I like the word laid up. That is beautiful. That means secure. Thieves can't break through and steal it. They can here, can't they? Huh? Rust? Moth? But this hope is, thieves, robbers can't take it away from you. We just read about light afflictions, and the old man, the body, having its problems. But this hope, that's secure. Where is it secure? It's in heaven. It's for you. For you. I love that. Well, that's for him. No, it's for you. What is? Eternal hope. And if you have it, it's secure all the way from here to heaven. You're not going to lose it. Go ahead, you Armenians. Go ahead and blow it all you want to and cry all you want to. I want to tell you something. If you have this, these three characteristics, these three graces of God, it says you got security right up all the way to heaven. You say, well, if you sin, yeah, we'll take care of sin. Confess it. We got to do it all the time, don't we, friends? Oh, yes. It's real, friends. It says it's laid up for you in heaven, for you, wherein you've heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. It said, you heard this gospel? Yes, you did. He said, where did you hear that, you people of Colossae? Well, Epaphras. Epaphras, I believe, was saved at Paul's third missionary journey when he spent time at Ephesus, 100 miles east of Colossae. He came back and he talked to the neighbors and friends about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God blessed the word and saved folk, and he got a small church going. I just think that's something. That's something. Oh, friends.
You want the real classic passage of the matter of hope? 1 Corinthians 13. Oh, I know 1 Corinthians 13. So do I. How about verse 13? Aren't you going to read all of it? No, you're going to read verse 13. Why? I said to you, the Bible saying that it's laid up, it's secure in heaven, and it's lasting. It is not something that can be taken from you. For verse 14, 13 says about this, now there abideth. What abideth? Faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, love. But those three things abideth. And I want to talk more about those, the Lord willing, this coming Lord's Day, about faith, hope, and love. This triad that God gives to everyone who's a Christian. Great truths. I tell you, friends, you know what it is to get out of focus? I can't seem to see things like I did anymore. Guess I better go see the eye doctor. You know, you got astigmatism, you got things, you got some changes that need to be made. I thought so, Doc. Things are kind of getting out of focus. Now, you didn't get out of focus spiritually, do you know that? Just run your own life. Not pay attention to God's word. All of us, including the preacher. Get out of focus. Oh, don't get out of focus about this matter of hope. Because it talks about the word in there in Colossians. The word of God. Have confidence in the word of God. You say, well, I have confidence in the preacher or the presentation of the Bible. Well, so, but I want to tell you something. That's not what you better have confidence in. You better have confidence in verse 5. The hope that was laid up for you in heaven, yes, wherein you heard before in the word of the truth. Yes, the truth. That's great. He said, my word will not pass away. And he says, other things can... will pass away, but there's three things that's going to abide. And if you have those three divine characteristics or graces, that is faith and love and hope, he says here that in verse 5, where have you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel? The gospel. I wonder if you show the gospel. I wonder if you tell the gospel, go spiel God's the good news. Do you spiel it, the gospel? Do you find evidence that you really do love the brother, and that you have hope of eternal life, and you have faith? Do you have these three things that God gives? Say, yes, I do. Well, praise the Lord. I'm grateful for you. Are you showing it? What do you mean showing it? Are you showing it by your manners and talking to people? Your life? Your words? Oh, brethren, we need prayer, don't we? This world is dying and it needs Christ. Don't lose confidence in Christ. Don't lose confidence in the Word of God. Keep on keeping on. If you have hope, rejoice in it and let it be increased in the inner man. Keep praying, keep loving, keep faithing. Feed the inner man. That's what's going to keep on and on. They'll put your body in the grave. But thank God, we have the hope of a resurrected body, a glorified body, where all sin is removed and living with the Lord. I was thinking, Brother Bob, maybe we ought to sing one more hymn. Would you please? I appreciate you doing that. I'm not sure what hymn I really want us to sing. what hymn to sing. I have a list of hymns I'd like to sing. Well, let's sing 27. I have it on the board, don't I? Number 27. Great is thy faithfulness. Our Father, we invited you by hymn and by prayer to come. We've sung wonderful love. We've sung that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We've sung that Christ is all of our hopes, the ground. We've sung that your faithfulness, that it's enduring. It gives a peace that passes all understanding. It gives strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Lord, if that's not so of all of us tonight, by thy Spirit, work in hearts savingly. Help us as believers to be serious about matters. Help us not to be sidetracked, forgetful, or in a realm that isn't profitable and soon to pass away. We pray individually and collectively as a church and throughout the whole world for the brethren as they have needs and your love for them. We're grateful and for us. In the name of Christ. Amen. Please be seated. We invite any comments you might have. Nice to see Edward, Al Macy. We should have brought your wife and those boys along, Ed. Yes.
In place of the word hope, couldn't we use, in most cases, confidence?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That's a better word, or expectancy, or confidence. Thanks. That is the word, confidence. Instead of just, because we're so accustomed to the interpretation of the word hope today, the word confidence. That would be good. Yes.
In the past, I've heard the word fall from grace.
Yes. Yes.
That's an impossibility if you're a Christian.
Yes. There are those who profess.
Okay.
And say they believe and everything and so forth, and they fall. They aren't Christians.
And that is our hope. That
yeah.
Can count.
Yeah, amen. Not to count. Not to flowers. He loves me. He loves me. Not. That's good, isn't it, friends? And theologically, there's some of them are teaching that. Nope.
That hope then has a bearing on the other graces too, the spiritual graces.
It's the foundation, I think. I think in the Greek, the foundation is hope. The hub of the wheel, and then the spokes, primarily we're talking about faith and love. I think that from the Greek that the foundation, brother, is really hope, the construction there.
You use the word hoper.
Yes.
And but you know the word hopper, coming from the farm, you know, a grain hopper.
Yes, I do.
And it's a farmer just is hopeful when he sees that hopper filled overflowing with grain.
That's good.
And the grain, you see, we have the gospel seed, and our hoppers are full of hope, the hope of Christ.
Oh, there you go.
The precious seed of the gospel, and it's filled overflowing.
But then there's the other kind of hoppers that they keep hoping for something that'll tickle their ears, so they hop from one church to another.
There you go. You got any more? We got her going here. That's good.
And yeah, there's also grasshoppers.
Yeah.
But I like the one with hope.
Yes. Let's now consider a prayer request. It's been a delight to have my daughter Joy and the boys with us. And they're going to get on the plane and go back to Northern Ireland. Perhaps you'll pray for them. It's been a real delight.
Have you heard any more from Ray and Betty Ruff?
Surely you can bring up. Yesterday he called, didn't he?
Oh, he just called it. To see if his phone is working. He called.
Yeah. Yeah.
His son fixed up his phone for him again, but he has no help for his hip. They want to send him to a, I thought he said a pain clinic.
Yes.
Or something. I don't know if they can't operate on his hip or what. He just sort of made it a little fast call, and they said they're I'm able to sit up and take nourishment, as he always says. I'm able to sit up and take nourishment and those kind of things. But they're hanging in there.
I don't believe he was taking any pain medicine. Just bearing it. His pain in his hip. So, and I do hear prayers for Raymond and Betty Rook. Perhaps you read. Now, you heard the announcement concerning Joe Serapali, who is planning to come be with us this month. It won't be till May the 11th now, because you heard it. doesn't have a vehicle, so he, I guess he rented that motorcycle and going around a curve, it, the handlebars locked up on him and went down a steep cliff and just, fractured his, collarbone, right? He said the helmet and a leather jacket certainly helped him. And I appreciated so much the fact that the man who was helping him, who was riding with him, he just left him off and it didn't happen to him. God has his ways, doesn't he? Will you pray for Joel?
I pray for my brother, 85 years old. And looks like he's coming to the end of the road pretty soon.
Wilbur Klotz. Who else or what else? You pray for the services. Go ahead, please.
Pray for Uncle Grant.
Oh, thank you. Grant Waltz. That's
Mark. Mark was in a car accident some time ago.
Yeah. He's, Mark Robbins.
He's enduring the pain too, with a broken shoulder and arm, and because he has some trouble with his hand.
Well, I've got to tell you, he got in a real contest. With some Armenians, Assembly of God people, and they were shouting him down about free will, and the man has free will and so forth, and I was surprised. He said, you know, verses came to my mind, Dad, and he said, I use those verses, and he said...
Did he come up with Ephesians or Romans?
Yeah.
Without a scripture, I didn't know
you
so well.
And he said, I love them, and they love me, but he said they... They won't ever tell me that I'm right. They just, you know how people are. But I said, that's good. And he said, he said, you know, I went home then and I looked it up on the internet. And he said, I'm convinced I'm a monergist. And I said, what? He said, I'm a monergist. I said, well, that's great. How many of you know what a monergist is? I said, that's great. We studied it, didn't we? So, who else or what else? All right, let's pray.